we start with some breaking news this hour. People in the Urals in Russia have seen burning objects raining down from the sky after a meteorite exploded above the earth, causing a meteor shower. Eyewitnesses reported several blasts rocking the region and as long trails of smoke in the air.
Imagine you're driving to work on a beautiful, calm Friday morning and suddenly a massive fireball appears out of nowhere in the sky. You're thinking to yourself, is this a plane crash? Is this a rocket attack? A UFO? But when it comes to the Urals region in Chelyabinsk, the city in Russia, it's actually a meteor shower. This is what took place this morning. Really stunning images that you're seeing there right now. Now, what we know from officials, according to officials and eyewitnesses, is that a series of explosions, possibly 5 to 6, took place when this meteor exploded in the air, raining down molten hot debris onto the ground. Now, this has caused widespread panic in at least 3 cities. Witnesses reported the walls of houses shaking, windows being blown out, cell phones even reportedly stopped working in some areas. There has been some concern about potential small injuries at a school, unconfirmed, so some schools are reportedly being evacuated. We're also hearing that a zinc factory was hit by a piece of the meteor, but no leaks reported so far. The biggest issue right now is the falling debris and the smoke, that the black smoke that people are reporting that is hanging in the air. So very, very shocking developments, probably not the kind of surprise you want to see on your way to work on Friday morning. One interesting fact of note is that the world is closely watching another meteor that's supposed to graze past the Earth later on this evening. That's the size of an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
The meteor that rocketed into Russia really got our attention a few weeks back. We learned today about the threat of such things to our modern world. In the meteor and asteroid tracking business, they call the big ones city killers. And while there was very little good news today about our chances of getting them before they get us, there was some talk about future remedies. Our report tonight from NBC's Stephanie Gons.
Last month, the meteor rocketed into the atmosphere and exploded over Russia. Frightening because the shockwave blew out windows and injured 1,200 people.
It came out of the sun. It came from a direction where our telescopes could not look.
Today at a hearing on Capitol Hill, leading space scientists told lawmakers the U.S. is not prepared to defend itself against meteors of the same size.
If you detected even a small one, like the one that detonated in Russia, headed for New York City in 3 weeks, what would we do?
The answer to you is, if it's coming in 3 weeks, pray.
Scientists say they have identified all asteroids large enough to wipe out the planet, like the one suspected of killing off the dinosaurs, and there is no immediate risk. The concern is meteors that are smaller, but still big enough to take out a city.
The number of undetected potential city killers is very large. It's in the range of 10,000 or more.
Probability of impact is low, they say, but at present funding levels, NASA believes it will take almost 20 years to identify them all. What would help is an infrared telescope. The government won't pay for one. But a former astronaut is looking to build the first ever privately funded deep space telescope. NASA is collaborating on the project, but the space agency says it still needs more money to identify and develop ways to protect the planet.
A good segment of the population thinks it's just a matter of calling Bruce Willis in, you know, and you know, notwithstanding we don't have a shuttle anymore.
Hollywood's version is definitely a bit dramatic, but scientists say there is reason to be concerned. The meteor in Russia was like a shot across the bow.
Why would the power elite, being on this earth and being subject to all the devastation that's going to be wrought by this planet, as it gravitationally and electromagnetically molests the surface of planet Earth, why would the power elite go in there and try to provoke an earthquake? This is my rationale. They know it's coming. They have underground cities. Governor Jesse Ventura did a True TV broadcast, which I recorded in high-quality video. The episode was titled Apocalypse 2012. You can find it on YouTube. I would urge everyone to go to YouTube and look for Jesse Ventura, Apocalypse 2012. He went underground to under Cheyenne Mountain. His producer, Michael Braverman, went under there, and they actually allowed Michael Braverman to go in and talk to the chief of security down there. They have these military troops guarding this facility underground. It's a huge city, one of many, many cities that have been constructed, and we can document that have been built around the world, including perhaps what many believe is the Pope's, the Vatican's underground city, and the Italian Alps. But there are many around the world constructed secretly over the past decades by governments of various nations, Russia, Britain, etc. But I know the Queen Elizabeth for sure, has purchased many large tracts of land around Denver, around the town of Crestone, Colorado. And the Queen is for certain going to be coming here to the United States underground cities when the devastation becomes unbearable. She will leave England and...
I don't understand why people put off being prepared, because everybody, you know, it's always the day before the disaster, the day before the storm, the day before the meteor hits, the day. It's odd because the news has been teeming with indicators that give us, you know, a big hello. Something's going on up there in space. I've been told, why, Clyde, our government is falling apart. Why aren't you talking about this now? I'll tell you why, because I talked about it weeks ago. I said, get ready for this, it's happening. And people don't understand. This show is about preparing yourself for what is to come. And when it does go down, I'm already moving on to the next topic. If you're not harmed, if we're still alive and still breathing, it's time to move on to the next idea. Right now, everything that we had talked about weeks ago was transpiring. There are many things happening besides what's going on now that the mainstream won't cover. I'm covering those things, and that is, we seem to be in some sort of a trail of rocks or debris or something that's going to hit us. And then we do a news story of a 3.6 million mile distance between us and a 2 mile wide asteroid. But yet they're saying, better stock up anyway. You don't know what's going to happen when something passes like this. And it's 3.6 million miles away. That tells me that it's going to be pushing some bigger stuff towards us. That thing that hit The moon traveled at 56,000 miles an hour, and it slammed into the moon. It was the size of what? A small baseball, and it created a huge crater, and it also was visible. The explosion was visible from the Earth. You didn't even need a telescope. You know, that's the problem. NASA won't tell us this, and the reason why they won't is because they don't want to raise panic. But boy, I'll tell you, Russia is the calling card. Remember Chelyabinsk in February, and then now they're telling us a month later the moon gets hit. Next year, Mars will get hit, and we also have Comet Ison coming. What happens when we pass through the tail of that big comet that's going to be seen during the day? I find this very fascinating that we're not talking about this and preparing for it, especially when November is coming and we'll be seeing more of this thing. In fact, they're already seeing it in telescopes. It's so big.
Jesse Ventura first speaks with Jim Higgins, who tells us that there is going to be solar flares that are going to take out the power grid. They explain that this has already happened in 1859, when the only technical power grid that they had was the telegraph lines in 1859. And there were some huge solar emissions, coronal mass ejections or solar flares in 1859 that actually burned the telegraph wires and knocked out the telegraph system. Now we are very vulnerable because everything depends upon our power grid, and the government has done nothing to protect the power grid from the solar emissions. And they say, and scientist Larry Joseph is telling Jesse Ventura that, hey, look, it's not me saying this, it's the National Academy of Science, which is closest thing we have to a Supreme Court of Science in the United States. They are telling us that we're going to have solar emissions, solar blasting in 2012, that what they say could knock out the power grid, and convert that to will. They're never going to tell you the worst of it. And when that happens, of course, lots of electronics, all the computers that govern our society, all our activity, that keeps us going as a civilization, our food distribution, our fuel distribution, everything. All that will be knocked out and we'll be thrown back to a primitive existence. So, well, the first thing, you know, it's easier for us to deal with that than to deal with a nuclear meltdown and a tsunami, because at least you're in a primitive way of life, but you're still alive. Whereas the other way, with the tsunami and the nuclear meltdown, you're either dead or dying slowly. But at least we could prepare for, if we live through this, prepare for loss of power for a long term. When the grid goes down, it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to stay down. There's no way they can repair all that. And just think, what even if it were repairable, which would take years, all the means of repairing the power grid would be destroyed by the breakdown of the power grid itself. You wouldn't be able to get the supplies, the technology, mobilized to repair the damage, because the society would be broken, thrown into a primitive lifestyle. So expect the power grid to stay down and prepare to live without power. People have done it in the past. Your ancestors did it. We've got wind, lots of wind. You can use that. We're going to have tremendous winds. I mean, I don't want to say that's a bonus for us, because certainly roofs will get blown off of houses by these horrendous winds, but we can use whatever we can for the time being with wind generators and also solar panels. It's going to have tremendous solar energy.
The Japan earthquake tilted the earth on its axis by a few centimeters. Now, that's not unusual for a great earthquake. It will tilt the earth on its axis because it moved Japan by 8 feet. Therefore, it changed the weight of the earth, the distribution of earth's weight, and the axis tilted a little bit. However, since 2004, the Sumatran earthquake tilted at about 2.76 inches. The Chilean earthquake tilted at about another 3 inches. So we've gone close, pushing toward 6 or 7 inches in axial tilt since 2004 because of these great quakes that keep occurring. And we have to ask ourselves a question. Is this tilting causing the earth to become more unstable? Is that why we're having more great quakes? Well, if you look at the statistics, it turns out that we actually aren't in any kind of swarm of great earthquakes, that these happen fairly regularly. The difference is now they are usually happening in populated areas, heavily populated areas, because almost every place is heavily populated. So we notice them a whole lot more. Could it lead somewhere, perhaps to another quake near the quake that just happened? Could there be a destabilization maybe on the west side of the Pacific, on our side of the Pacific? The only known fault along our side of the Pacific that could let go that dramatically is the Cascadia subduction fault off the course of the Pacific Northwest. There's no evidence of any activity on that fault line, but then again, there was no evidence.
Mark Hazelwood, he was one of the first Planet X researchers. Way back in 2002, he says when this thing starts getting close, you're going to get all kinds of reports from the mass media. Of course, the mass media is owned and operated by the power elite and the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and their plan is to inundate us with so many reports of celestial objects being discovered that we get so sick of it after a while that when the real thing happens and you see that little red glowing dot in the sky and it starts getting bigger day by day, they'll just say, oh, don't worry about it. That's just another one of those many objects that we've been discovering. And people will just turn their heads and forget all about it because that's what they want to do. And they go underground, which they're planning to do right now. We've got solid evidence of their trillion-dollar underground facilities.
Called the red dwarf star that comes in a periodic cycle from deep below the ecliptic every 3600 plus a few years, 12 to 15 years, and that it has a debris field around it of objects that rotate like a, because it's a small star, that comes back in periodic cycles. It's a red dwarf, not a brown dwarf star. It has a very powerful magnetic field, so it's likely to produce not only gravitonic effects, but more significantly, coronal mass ejections and major solar storms. They don't want you to know that this is actually coming in. It really is coming in. This is no joke. We didn't put dates on it, by the way. But we can tell you that we have reports from Australia, from the South Pole Telescope, from IRAS. And by the way, the Arecibo, which is a radio telescope, can see this. Because you can see it by radio telescope, you can see it by infrared, and you can see it by X-ray. That's how you identify this object coming in. It is now also close enough in that from Antarctica, from Australia, especially the east side of Australia and New Zealand, they can see this now. So if there's anybody down there and you're an astronomer or you have access, you need to contact us with any photos or independent corroboration. They've actually stated also on YouTube, according to John today, YouTube's made statements that anything posted on Nibiru that looks real solid science or from one of these sources, they're going to remove it within 6 minutes.
Well, you know, we know the red dwarf star is the biggest threat. It also ties into the terraforming of the planet for nefarious means. I mean, why else would you be modifying, you know, the upper layers of the atmosphere unless you wanted to terraform the Earth?
What I was told from Space Command, and this is what I was told, is that they, in this 94, that they were expecting a major event to cause coronal mass ejections, and the reason why they're putting at Buckley and Peterson Air Force Base these nanoparticles up was to protect the Earth, like Teller talked about back in the 50s, at about 20,000 miles out into space, but not in the upper troposphere or the thermosphere, to protect it from CMEs knocking out civilization. So what they told me was, this had nothing to do with visitors or anything, this was literally to shield the Earth from a major solar storm that they expected sometime to happen, they told me, within the next 20 years.
Are going to have massive earthquakes and earth disruptions of all sorts coming from Planet X, and Planet X is going to be so destructive and devastating. Are the underground cities actually going to be safe?
Well, they have the best geologists and the best engineers money can buy, and they of course must have been quite apprehensive about going underground. So when they did their studies, their geological studies, they made sure to find set areas underground at the proper depth and the proper location on the surface of the Earth where they felt that the Earth's crust would be quite stable. So I guess they've done their homework, but you know, they're not gonna foil God.
Yeah,
God tells
exactly.
us in the Bible that He says, "I don't care where you're going, I'm gonna get you. I'm coming after you." And they know it. They got to know it. They're scared. They're
sure.
Extremely scared.
Well, what gets me, too, is why would they not alert the public? Because you know they're not going to do their own work. They're going to need somebody to do the work for them. So why would they not alert at least some of the public so the public could save themselves?
Oh, well, the reason is pretty simple. And especially if you look at it from their paranoid perspective, they know that if the world ever found out all the evils that they have perpetrated, they would be caught and torn apart limb from limb by the mobs around the world. They know this. Just as Mussolini, the dictator Mussolini, was ripped apart limb from limb by the Italian mobs at the end of the Second World War. They're not going to tell anybody anything. They want to go underground and watch at least 90% of the population die. Because then they'll have achieved their objective. Their objective is to reduce the world's population by killing 12 out of every 13 people. This is not an exaggeration. This is their statement, literally carved in stone in the Georgia Guidestones. They intend to reduce the world's population down to 500 million. Well, right now we have 6.5 billion people in the world. So by my arithmetic, that means killing 12 out of every 13 people alive today on the face of the Earth. And not only have they thought that way, but they've carved it in stone and thrown it in our face in Georgia, in our own country. Can you imagine that? That's how blatant these people are.
Well, I know a lot of people who can't believe the Georgia Guidestones are still standing.
Well, I would want them to stand. you know, as a testimony, as evidence against these monsters. And they have carved it in stone. We're going to kill you. That's the record. So getting back, I've strayed a little bit, getting back to your question as to why would they not tell everybody, we pretty much know why. Because they're going to be killed by the masses if the masses ever find out that these people have taken literally trillions of dollars of our hard-earned tax money and built underground cities so that they themselves could go down there and hide and have all the most fabulous life support systems you can imagine underground, while we on the surface of the earth are being scorched to death, literally incinerated by the solar blasting, which is projected to occur in the coming months. Solar blasting. If you go to Governor Jesse Ventura's True TV.com.